The following is my audio journal, taken from my written journal from the dates of January 30th, 2010 through February 17th, 2010. These journal entries include from the day that I was arrested in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, until the day of my release, 19 days later. They are here to display the glory of God and to speak of His kindness and His provision in the hard, dark, but gloriously good day of my life.
You and You Alone, Saturday, January 30th, 2010. I woke about 2 a.m. with stomach cramps. I'm nauseated and have a migraine. Unknown to us at the time, God has allowed His enemy to change and harden the heart of the border officer. We are now all ordered to return to Port-au-Prince Child Services, the same place we had been the day before and told no one was there to help. Finally, some relief from the nausea and the migraine as we arrived at the Child Services office. We get off the bus and walk into the small office area for things that we are not sure about still. Laura and Isaac go into an office. We remain in the outer office and hallway with the children. Conditions are filthy. The bathroom was already filthy before we arrived. The offices look like they are rarely used. They are dusty with few supplies. The back hall is lined with benches for us so that the children could sit. As we walk to the end of the hallway, I begin to consider that this change of plans this morning has more in store for us than we are thinking. Our being here is not to simply obtain a document. We are in a holding area, a jail of some sort, a courthouse of some sort, perhaps. We pray without ceasing still. About an hour after arriving, Laura comes out of a meeting to tell us that her meeting with the police has gone well. They are ready to release us with documents after two more meetings. The next meeting is with UNICEF, and then a meeting with a judge. As the UNICEF personnel arrive, there is a clear and undeniable spiritual oppressive spirit present in the room. The children pick up on this quickly and begin to cry a very somber moan. They are told by a slandering agitator that arrived with the woman in the UNICEF shirt that we are going to sell them into slavery. And they began to wail and to weep. But supernaturally, they turned to us for comfort. It takes about 30 minutes to regain the children's composure. They return to playing as best they can while in the cramped room and hallway. While Laura is in the meeting with UNICEF, an officer approaches me at the door. As we talk, I learn quickly that he is a follower of Christ. We exchange names and email addresses for further dialogue. He is kind and sympathetic toward us and apologizes for the room being so small. As UNICEF personnel leave the meeting, there becomes a second wave of deep moaning and wailing from the children. I consider Psalm 8, 1 and 2. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is Your name throughout all of the earth. You have considered the heavens with Your majesty. You have covered the heavens with Your majesty. Because of Your adversaries, You have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. It is as if the children are fighting this enemy. Their faces are the faces of warriors. Their cries are battle cries of a mighty God. The faces of the children are worn. We are in a battle that is not of flesh and blood. It takes a toll on the physical. But God sustains. Laura looks worn from this second meeting. I encourage her to stay the course and fight this good fight. She is strong and encouraged. The next meeting is with the judge. We learn later that he is a type of voodoo church judge of some kind. His purpose is to give a legal ruling on our intent. I pray without ceasing while in the room with him. He is postured in arrogance, not showing any acknowledgement of our reason or intent. This meeting or hearing is difficult because of translational issues, but awkwardly short in comparison to the other gatherings and meetings of the day. The Lord allowed us a phone call while with the judge from Matt Kreider. Matt somehow was able to communicate with the bus driver to get the phone to us. This encouraging call from Matt was timely. He assured us that they were praying. Matt, Laura, and John are in the DR waiting at the orphanage for the children. Matt assures me that they will call Renee and let her know that we are all right and will call the U.S. Embassy. At the conclusion, we are not aware that this ruling is a charge of illegal trafficking of children. We are casually taken from the children and walked beyond the holding cells into another hallway, leading to another hallway, finally into what is clearly a jail. We were never handcuffed or treated unkindly. The Haitian police officer I mentioned earlier walked in and began to explain what was going on. He is kind and compassionate toward us. We are still not sure what is going on, but reason begins to show that we have just been formally arrested. The officer continues to assure us to be patient and to be careful. He then tells us to remove items from our pockets and remove belts, jewelry, and shoelaces. It is clear to me that he is troubled, but also clearly doing his job. He asks me about when we last ate and had water. He assures me that he will help. Within an hour, he returned with water and granola bars he called cookies. The formal arresting took about an hour, as the paperwork is filed in a record book. They allow us trips to the bus to gather some personal items before being put in jail. All legal proceedings have been done with pencil and paper. As of 4 p.m., we have not seen or heard from the U.S. Embassy, even though we have made many attempts. The ladies are moved into a holding cell adjacent to the main cell where we will be placed with the male population of Haitian inmates. We have yet to be told our charges. I comply to all things asked with joy, knowing that truth will rule the day and that the peace of God will need to be the ruler of my heart. We are now told that we are formally being arrested of illegal trafficking of children. Steve is already communicating through the outer bars with the Haitian inmates. He has already discovered who has Bibles. I'm thankful to God for Steve's boldness with the gospel. It is clear that we are about to be ushered into a dark jail, but we do so with confidence and joy. The officer is with us to take us in and to show us the facility. There are no lights. There are 8 others in the cell. All but one is Haitian, the other Dominican. We are escorted to the shower room, bathrooms, and wash area. This is not a pleasant place at all. Except for the granola bars from the officer, we have not eaten all day. We prayed that God would provide. Carl from CNN arrived to interview us. When they left, they gave us a case of water, a provision from God. Finally, the American Embassy showed up with paperwork for us to sign so they could contact our families. I must say that I was disappointed by the service of the Embassy, but thankful nonetheless that they will be communicating with our families soon. And they left about 7 MREs for us, God providing for our basic need. My first trip to the bathroom came after eating our MREs. I'm still nauseated from time to time. It is going to take God doing something in my life to overcome this. A rat ran from the back corner toward the hole in the wall that we pee through. The floor is wet. I'm not sure what I'm stepping in. The smell of urine is strong. I'm sure this will prove in daylight to be a sickening place. We decide to bed down for the night. 4 of the other inmates have moved out of a cell to give us, the 5 men, the ability to stay together. The cell is only concrete. No bunks, no mattresses. The Dominican, Jean, came back offering a sleeping bag. Jim is kind to accept the gift. Not sure when this bag was last washed, but from the odor, it has been some time ago. Kindness from God in a dark place. My prayer. God, protect us tonight. We are without everything but you. And you and you alone do we have. Praise be to God.
I Will Wait Upon the Lord. January 31st, 2010. 6 o'clock a.m. We awake early at the first light coming through the slat near the ceiling. We awake knowing we will most likely be here all day, at least until Monday. In several hours from now, our churches will begin to gather. We are confident that they will be praying and most likely just beginning to hear of our arrest. We gather to pray for them that they will stand strong with us. We are aware that there are now false reports about us, but we will not be moved. We are mostly in good spirits because we know that this is nothing but a misunderstanding. We have spent the day praying. Worship of God is fresh today. Worship in song, prayer, meditating on Scripture, and fellowship with each other is not usually for me this affectionate. Sometimes we worship with just the men in our cell, sometimes in the cell with the other men, sometimes in the hallway singing and reading Scripture through the bars with the women. This has been an amazing day. I read 2 Corinthians 4 as we gather in the hallway with the women. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced shameful secret things, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message. But in God's sight, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if in fact our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Regarding them, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves because of Jesus. For God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in accordance with what is written, "I believe, therefore I spoke," we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. For all this is because of you, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to God's glory. Therefore we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. We all acknowledge our concern for our families and what they must be thinking and experiencing. We pray for them often. We gather with three Haitian men often today to read Scripture together and sing with them. Sometimes we sing in English, and sometimes they sing in Creole. This has been a fresh encounter with God. There is little communication because of language complexities, but we usually come to a sort of understanding about what we are doing. We will look up a passage in Scripture. The Haitian inmates will look up the same. We read that Scripture in English, and they read it in Creole. I noticed this morning a distant sound of an Islamic call to prayer. I thought it odd that I would hear it here. After hearing it a few more times, I decide that must be what it is. I have heard this familiar call to prayer in other visits in other countries. I decide to use these calls to prayer to remind me to pray for Muslim people while here. Steve and I had been planning to be in the Arabian Peninsula this year, but had not worked out all of the details yet. I'm thankful to God for this audible reminder to pray that Muslim people would be introduced to the biblical Jesus. A policeman brought us rice and chicken for dinner and fresh water. God provided for this need before we even thought to ask Him for food. Carissa has been moved to a medical facility to determine what she is going through. We were told that they would give us regular updates along the way and let us know how she is doing. We pray for her. We have not heard from the U.S. Embassy today. This may be normal, but seems odd and feels odd. But we choose not to labor on it, knowing that there are many issues for them to be dealing with. We don't want to be a distraction for aid to those in greater need. My emotions have spiked and bottomed throughout the day, teaching me I will need to pray for steadfastness. God has sent encouragers along the way at just the right times all day long. We are told that meetings will begin in the morning around 9 a.m. for us with the court. Sunday night, we are all removed from the jail for a brief meeting with the chief of police. He encourages us with sympathy and understanding, but tells us that this is beyond his call on what will happen. My prayer. God, I don't want to waste this time. Redeem these short moments in my life for eternal value. Help me to pray for your persecuted church. Help the church I pastor as they look to you. Help them, dear God, to look to none other but you. Please break my outer man of all distracting pleasures. Let your peace rule my mind.
Monday, February 1st, 2010, 6 a.m. Nights are the hardest as the mosquitoes plague us all night long. We have multiple bites. Jim seems to suffer the most with the swelling after the mosquito bites. My feet are both swollen now. Silas and Drew are in bad shape with bug bites on their arms and neck and faces. Steve is faring the best so far. He has a long-sleeve shirt. After a time of prayer, singing, and scripture reading with the women through the bars, we retreat to our cell to continue praying and reading. 10 a.m. The police finally come to get Laura. She is gone for a very short time. I'm not sure who she is meeting with, but she returns hopeful, yet reserved because she has yet another meeting with the judge that we met on Saturday. This meeting is to be early this afternoon. 11:45 a.m. Alex, a follower of Christ I met on Friday, came in. We had just prayed for encouragement from the Lord. He came with another brother from another local fellowship. His name is Junior. They came in with 3 bananas and about 3 packages of crackers. It seems likely that this was a huge gift for us, a sacrificial gift. Alex shared with me a few days ago of his not having a job since the earthquake. We receive this gift with a deep understanding of the sacrifice made to give to us. Remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Hebrews 13:3. The jail system is set up for family or friends to bring in inmates food and water. God has sent many of His people our way. This has been an encouragement indeed. Alex also told us that many of the children given to us by Pastor Sanville have been gathering outside to testify upon our part. We are not sure how they have come or who has brought them, but we are encouraged greatly. Laura finally goes to the meeting late in the afternoon. Her meeting with the judge is cut short for some unknown reasons. Laura reports a heavy spiritual oppression in the room with the judge. Her prayer was that God would rule. We were still in prayer when she returned. She was discouraged. We will have to fight the tendency to take bad news as reason to lose hope. This setback most likely means another night in jail. We are told by some guards that it will not be long before our release. The attitude among the jailers changes greatly depending upon who is on duty. The policeman on duty the day we were arrested has not been in today. I suppose he is off. As dark begins to set in, the mosquitoes seem to get worse. I have made the decision to pray through the night. I am finding the fulfillment of this to be a great blessing, but a great struggle. Finding enough light to read Scripture is very difficult. I have to stand with my Bible above my head, and at times to relieve muscle tightness to use the dim glow from my watch as light. I have prayed for all of our team members again, the inmates and the jailers. I prayed for the Haitian church and the kind display of Alex and Junior today by bringing fruit and crackers. I'm praying for the Haitian government. I pray that the judge's countenance will change. I pray, knowing that God determines the steps of all. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 16:9. We did not hear from the U.S. Embassy today. I continue to wonder if this should be a concern. I pray for my church and wonder how the disaster relief efforts of the Southern Baptist Convention are coming along. Have they been able to arrive yet? We do not know yet how the judicial system works. We were given phone numbers of lawyers in Haiti by the U.S. Embassy, but we have no way to call. We don't know when or if we will need a lawyer if we go before the judge. We have not had communication with our families. We are told that the global media has begun to set up camp outside the jail. If an opportunity is given us by the media, I want to know from God how to respond or what to say. If we do go before the judge or the court, I have thought a lot of how I want to reply if given the opportunity to speak. This is clearly an issue I had not expected. Dear God, give wisdom and let humility speak from your servants. A rough draft of my thoughts if asked to speak. To the people of the sovereign nation of Haiti and to the authorities of the people ordained by God, we place ourselves upon the mercy of the court. Please know and understand that we are in agreement with you in the tragic practice of human trafficking as an act against humanity. It is troubling to hear that we are charged with this act in which we plead our innocence. Our actions were actions motivated by the compassion of God for humanity, not actions motivated to exploit humanity as we are being charged. We are motivated by God through the Bible to love our neighbor as ourselves. I am confident that if my homeland was hit with such an earthquake, and if the good people of Haiti could help, that they would show this same kind of compassion toward us. We have come only to do good. We place ourselves at the mercy of the court, asking that we be allowed to prove our intent by doing all that we have told you we came to do. We did not come to hinder the help. We have attempted to comply and honor your sovereign nation and have done all that has been asked of us. We have done all things without deceit to any. Please extend your kind hand of mercy and allow us to help. We are not asking for release so we can quietly go home. We place ourselves here to continue to help. It is our high aim. Paul Thompson. Seven Mandarins and a Bag of Crackers. Tuesday, February 2, 2010. After a long night in spiritual war, it is clear that this day will be full of both victories and failures, joy and sorrow. The promise of a 9 a.m. meeting proves to mean more like noon or later. Today, more meetings are scheduled for Laura with the judge from Saturday. The prolonged waiting gives time for more singing, prayer, and scripture reading. The Haitian church continues to bless us as they come with fresh fruit and crackers. Today, Alex brought 7 mandarin oranges and a bag of crackers. Amazing to watch the spiritual battle unfold in front of us. We have a message of good news, then unclear information that contradicted the earlier news, then a messenger with encouragement. The women have heard word that their church has called them home as soon as release comes. This has been a very discouraging word. We still have hope to complete the purpose of our coming. I have great respect for this church and Pastor Clint. I will seek God's face on this to wait for how to reply. Steve continues to share the gospel with the other inmates. I wonder how Renee is. I'm thankful to God that she knows now that the news reports from here are not true. I pray for my home church. I pray that they will not move to the same conclusion as the other and call us home. I so strongly believe that God has not finished our work here. Only those here have been in the streets can know how complicated the situation is. The Haitian people have not given up on life. They suffer through for good. My prayer. Dear God, the silence is hard, but sweet is your word. We hear that most media is reporting slanderous remarks and reports about our intent and work. This is discouraging, but our hope is in you. How long, O God, will you let the enemy press in upon us? How long will you uphold your mercy? How will you receive glory for yourself here, O God? You know that our motive was motivated from your word. You have compelled each of us to be doers of your word, and we do so with high expectations of your glory. Yet you seem to remain silent with news about what is happening. And yet, I'm tasting your goodness with every word that I read in this treasured word of yours. Thank you for it. To you, the God of mercy who directs the steps of every authority on earth, I submit myself unto you alone. Have mercy upon us, O God. Hear us from this pit and rescue us in your time for your glory. God, sustain all. The bug bites are numerous. The temperatures in the day are hot. Water is sparse. But you are already aware of this, aren't you? For this I find joy and rest. I cry aloud to the Lord. I plead aloud to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before Him. I reveal my trouble to Him. Although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. Along this path I travel. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. No one stands up for me. There is no refuge for me. No one cares about me. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from prison, so I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me, because you deal generously with me. Psalm 142. Drive me quickly to God. Wednesday, February 3, 2010. Yesterday afternoon, the women finished their interviews. They reported a softened spirit of the judge. The guys are scheduled for today, so we wait. We pray for water and ask God about what is in front of us. While we are praying, Alex arrived with fresh fruit and clothes for all. Clean shirts, underwear, and food. Alex has told us that it is possible that the court will have the children ready to leave with us when we are released soon. This is encouraging. This was a blessing, God. How do I hold back the tears of joy? You know my need before I even ask. This was great encouragement, far beyond comprehension. Thank you, Lord. The call for the men comes in the afternoon. We are supposed to go at 10 a.m. The interviews take a long time due to translational issues, meaning we most likely will spend yet another night. Disappointing, but God is preparing us to stay the course and not to give up. The ups and downs are huge. God encourages, then allows the enemy to diffuse. I need God's strength to lift my head, and then I ask God to hold my head. While in Drew's interview, a man arrived claiming to be our lawyer. There is need to know what this means and who hired him on our behalf. This information will come. After we return from the interview, our lawyer brings cold water, a treat that I bless God for. But I plead with him that I not forget the sacrificial gifts from Alex and the church. The lawyer brings pizza and sandwiches for all of us. It is an abundance that we are able to share with the inmates. They are thankful. We enjoy the smile on their faces as we share. Worship tonight was exceptional, as the inmates anticipate our leaving on Thursday. They have told us that they have heard that we are sure to go home on Thursday. We read scripture, pray, and the singing tonight is only in Creole. I'm obviously not sure of all of the words or songs, but the spirit is in harmony. Some of the tunes are familiar. As we recall the words, we're able to sing together. Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, and a few other songs of our faith. Prayer. Is this all we came to do? I'm thankful if it is part of it, but God, please let it be from the purpose and reason you laid upon our hearts. I have received a personal text message from Renee today. I am now in a quietness of thought as I read the text. The church calls you home. Please follow her counsel. This word, as I hear and understand, has dropped my countenance immediately. I've been seeking God's word about what to do and how to further process what to do about our current situation and praying for God's glory to prove to the nations His way of doing things is radically different than all methods of this world. God, how do I follow and submit myself to the wise counsel of Your church if I don't know what they know and they don't know what we know? This discouragement that was meant to encourage has left me doing what I always want discouragement to do. Drive me quickly to God. I don't want to waste my disappointment. Thursday, February 4th, 2010. We are told that release is sure to come today because we now have a lawyer. We have yet to talk to this lawyer and find out what his plan is. We are only aware that this lawyer has been secured by connections with people who know him. We are scheduled for a meeting with another judge in a higher court today. That seems to indicate a release may come today. Our hope is high. We are transported from the jail to the courthouse around 11 a.m. We gather all of our belongings and make our way to the police vehicle. We are mostly in one vehicle. Laura and Carissa are transported in a second vehicle. The media is pressed in upon us with insulting comments about our faith and probing for any nugget of information from us to make a headline of. The ride from jail to court was fast, wild, and unbelievable. The media is on the chase after us on motorcycles, cameras in hand, nearly crashing multiple times. It's as if the police are trying to outrace the media to the courthouse. Our meeting at court today was with a prosecuting judge of some kind. This prosecutor has the ability to declare us innocent if he decides we are. He questions us for about 2 hours. Nikki and Silas are by far the best in dialogue with the judge. Both are pleasant, respectful, and articulate. Our lawyer has done little and speaks little on our behalf. He spends a good bit of the time on his mobile phone. I found his involvement interesting. He left the room with the prosecutor and are gone for about 10 minutes. When they return, the prosecutor told us that he finds our story believable and wishes that he could release us. Instead of release, however, he informs us that we now have 2 charges against us. This is a shock. First charge of illegal trafficking of children, second charge is kidnapping. Because we have 2 charges now, he does not have the legal right to release us. We will have to go back to jail and go before the next prosecutor above him. We are still on a roller coaster ride of encouragement and disappointment all day long. As we board the police vehicles to return to jail, the insults from the media begin again. Some are asking how we're doing, but mostly insulting comments about our faith. This causes me to internally consider many things, yet I have to pray against my flesh to second guess our task and purpose here. I must discipline my mind to stay the course. I must discipline my mind to weigh everything against His Word. I have to fight my mind to stay the course, meditate upon His Word, live from the nourishment of the bread of life. Disappointment comes like a dart, striking fast and penetrating deep. I must discipline my mind. I must put on the armor of truth to know and determine how to take in all things. It is clear on the ride back to jail that we begin to irritate each other. The disappointment was nearly crushing. The Haitian inmates were in as much shock as we were when we returned. I gather the men together to pray for each other, and especially as we hear some verbal arguments among some of the women. I'm sure that this is founded in disappointment. I ask God to use our disappointment to drive us to Him. I don't want to waste my disappointment. I want to use it for the purpose that it appears God is allowing it. Take me to your throne of grace that I may glorify your name, dear God. It is also becoming apparent that the other inmates are becoming agitated that we get so much attention and that we are still here. Our prayer remains focused. Our resolve to stay the course grows stronger. We have now begun to hear reports that 9 of us will be released on Monday and Laura will remain in custody. This rumor about release is appealing, but the idea of Laura remaining alone here is troubling. My prayer. Lord, I seek refuge in You. Let me never be disgraced. Save me by Your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Rescue me quickly. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mountain fortress to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. You lead and You guide because of Your name. You will free me from the net that is secretly set before me. For You are my refuge. Into Your hand I entrust my spirit. You redeem me, Lord, God of truth. I hate those who are devoted to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in Your faithful love because You have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my life and have not handed me over to the enemy. You have set my feet in a spacious place. Be gracious to me, God, because I am in distress. My eyes are worn out from angry sorrow, my whole being as well. Indeed, my life is consumed with grief and my years with groaning. My strength has failed because of my sinfulness, and my bones waste away. I am ridiculed by all of my adversaries, and even by my neighbors. I am dreaded by my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street run from me. I am forgotten, gone from memory like a dead person, like broken pottery. I have heard the gossip of many. Terror is on every side. When they conspired against me, they plotted to take my life. But I trust in You, Lord. I say, You are my God. The course of my life is in Your power. Deliver me from the power of my enemies and from my persecutors. Show Your favor to Your servant. Save me by Your faithful love. Lord, do not let me be disgraced when I call on You. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let lying lips be quieted. They speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is Your goodness that You have stored up for those who fear You and accomplished in the sight of everyone for those who take refuge in You. You hide them in the protection of Your presence. You conceal them in a shelter from the schemes of men, from quarrelsome tongues. May the Lord be praised, for He has wonderfully shown His faithful love to me in a city under siege. In my alarm I had said, I am cut off from Your sight, but You heard the sound of my pleading when I cried to You for help. Love the Lord, all His faithful ones. The Lord protects the loyal and fully repays the arrogant. Be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Psalm 31.
In spite of the pain. Friday, February 5th, 2010. Our Friday morning starts early with anticipation of another day in court. We are told again that we will be released after this. This is the highest court, we are told. The morning moves slowly as we anticipate this appearance with the judge. This is teaching me the importance of living a contented life. When I allow my hopes to reach an undisciplined level, I set myself up for a disappointing hope. I must learn to discipline my mind to protect my heart. The communication with family is slow with the men. We don't have the ability to text or communicate directly. We pass notes through the edges of a steel door that remains locked between the hallway of the men's cell and the holding area of the women's cell. I've begun to pick up on a hesitation on Renee's part to communicate with via texting. I, too, don't want too much communication due to the fact that I don't know what would happen if the jailers discovered we can communicate. It is best to have little dialogue. We have been here a total of 7 days right now and have only had one roll call.
The women are allowed access to all things. We are not allowed anything directly. But if we ask the women to ask for it for us, we usually get what we need. This becomes some of the humor that grants us a release of laughter. If we ask for bug spray, we're told no. But if the women ask the jailers to give us bug spray, they will. We are finally called out for the court time. It is late morning. We are told to pack everything up again as we are transported to the courthouse. The packing of everything up again sets our hopes high that we may be released. I must guard my heart from this hope and put its hope on Christ. After we arrive at the courthouse, we are ushered in with our heads covered. I don't like this tactic of the police today. I protest, but they insist. Once in the waiting room, we wait. Finally, we're called in one by one to retell our story and reason for being here to the judge through our interpreter. Many have growing in trust in our interpreter. I don't have an opinion about him, but I am in agreement of a dissatisfaction with our lawyer. Our lawyer has yet to speak to us personally. He has spoken to the media on our behalf, but not once has he spoken to us. The day moves very slowly. Night begins to press in on us as I begin to wonder about release. That dangerous placement of my hope has me set up for disappointment again. What more, dear God, do I need to learn about this? We are unsure about time anymore because we gave our watches to the Haitian inmates. We were all so sure that we were leaving today that we gave them our watches so they would know what time it was. It has become a joke between us about how long it will be before one of them will ask us about the time. I gave my watch to Maurice. I think he is hungry for truth. Maurice and Armstrong come to me multiple times a day to pray for them. We read for hours every day. Steve reads the Gospels with them. I read from the Psalms often. These times of prayer and scripture reading are treasured times. The lighting in our cell is very difficult as the afternoons turn into evening. Because we don't have any lighting on our side of the jail, we're forced to stand to read by the lighting coming through the bars from the jailer's room. This becomes painful to do for more than about 10 minutes because I have to hold my Bible above my head to catch the light on the pages. Yet, in spite of the pain, it is my most enjoyable part of the day. Along with a daily visit from Alex, who still comes every day with fruit and crackers. We read in our own languages, alternating from Creole to English. As the day at court concluded, we were told by our interpreter, lawyer, and judge that we will have to wait until Monday for more hearings to examine earlier interviews with this interview. The reaction to this news is obviously difficult as we handle this news within the arena of our own personalities. Hope and disappointment are great enemies. We are ushered back to the police transport. A feeling of rush makes me feel as though the police are agitated to go through this with the media again. The drive back and forth from jail and the courthouse is an amazing thing to experience. These already crowded streets are complicated with a police escort. En route back to jail, a pickup truck passes us with people in the back behaving dangerously. Within a flash of a moment, one of the media crews following us on motorcycles was struck by a semi-truck. As we pass this accident, we see a person sprawled out on the street. The police escort stopped to check on the accident. At this point, we saw the motorcycle wedged up underneath the bed of the semi-truck. We are told that no one was killed and that all people would be all right. As we drove away, the one we saw earlier sprawled out on the street was sitting up and the driver of the semi-truck was in handcuffs. We never did see the driver back at the jail. We continue en route back to the jail as though nothing had happened. The media continues to hound, taunt, and ridicule us. We are resolved to not be distracted. It seems as if the media is becoming agitated with us at this point. Return to jail is met with shock again by our new friends. They offer to give us our watches back, but we decide not to receive them. We gather in our cell to debrief, pray, and communicate the need to allow each other space and patience with each other. We are in agreement that we each process these things differently. Some need to talk a lot. Others want quiet. Important to know that we all need to be flexible and patient, giving to the needs of each other and not wanting the need for ourselves. This is very complicated. This is very difficult for me, as I want quiet and others want to talk. Lord, help me to resist my flesh and listen well. Buddyship, Saturday, February 6, 2010. Last night was very uncomfortable for me. The heat was up, but praise God the mosquitoes were not as much of a bother as they have been. Maybe there is no more unbitten skin left for them to land on. Today is Drew's birthday. We sang happy birthday as the women made balloons out of surgical gloves. This was good for Drew. This lifted his countenance. I am thankful to God for this. This was good for all of us. The day has gone very slow. We know that nothing will happen in the court until at least Monday. NBC brought a pizza from Domino's and MREs for us today. One of our MREs had a mobile phone in it. They wanted us to use it to call our families. As tempting as it was, we have chosen not to use it. I am of the opinion that the media wants to listen in to gather information. This may be an innocent gesture of goodwill, but we have decided that there is no media that we can trust or want to trust right now. Alex came again today. I look forward to his coming every day. God has encouraged us often with Alex, Junior, and Florence. Thank you for them, Lord. You are good. Renee has sent me a text message via the women's phone that some things are being learned and discovered about Laura that are reason to have some concern about trust. This I am in despair of what to do. I spend many hours this afternoon waiting to hear from God about what to do. I have not shared this with any of the men yet because I don't know what this even means. I'm certain that the women know about the message because someone had to write it on a note and pass it to me from Renee. I finally went to the steel door that we passed the notes through and asked to speak to Laura. She came, and I asked her to tell me if she was aware of anything that would cause Renee to be concerned. The things Laura told me made sense as to why Renee would be concerned. These issues are factual, but not bearing upon our being here. They are probably complicating our release, but have no bearing upon our issue of liberation. I sent word back to Renee to tell her of my love for her and thankfulness for her cautious words. I went to bed on Saturday with no return communication from her. I longed to read the words, "I love you," from Renee. This doesn't mean that I'm upset. This only represents my longing to hear those sweet words from her. I'm not sure what time this next event happened because I no longer have a watch, but it was late. After everyone had gone to bed and while I was facing the wall with my arms propped above my head to let the light fall upon the treasured Word of God, a man by the name of George, a Jewish man from the Dominican Republic, who tells me that he has been trying to accomplish some things on our behalf, came in with three large tubs of food, juices, socks, shirts, and underwear. I woke everyone up to discover what this meant. We store the supplies with the women and decide that if we need anything, we will access it from them. His kindness is refreshing. I have many questions I want to ask him someday. At the same time, but not together, a man by the name of Owen Shipp from the American Samaritan came in with insulin for Carissa and a word that he will be back with more medical supplies and a medic. He came in mainly to assess our situation and to determine our needs. He told us that we could call him Buddy, because he is a friend to all. His name is now known to us as Buddy. Better than friendship, God has given us buddyship. He learns that we are all suffering from bug bites. Carla is now running a fever, and we fear now has an infection. We get no relief at all from the itching. All are in discomfort from the mosquito bites. Some have diarrhea and even have an upset stomach. Jim has had a sore throat for a few days, but is much improved tonight. My prayer. And now I am on my way, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there. except that in town after town the Holy Spirit testifies to me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I count my life of no value to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Acts 20:22-24.
Where would you like to go? Monday, February 8, 2010. The morning routine is the same. I awake around 6 a.m., read my Bible, pray with Maurice and Armstrong, write a little, wash, then eat some breakfast. We now have food for breakfast because George brought food Saturday night. Breakfast the last few days has included fruit, juices, and bread. I think about Renee and pray for her throughout the morning. Then, while sitting and waiting for the police escort to arrive to take us to court, I read my Bible. Alex came in earlier than normal today. He told us that it becomes increasingly hard for him to get in to see us, but he is persistent. He had a bag of crackers and cheese for us today, but the guards' treatment of him becomes more hostile. They didn't allow him to leave anything with us today. He told me he has a note he desperately wants to give me and that many family members of the children are ready to give testimony to the court on our behalf. He's been talking to a lawyer on his own to find a way to help us. We don't know what our lawyer situation is like today because we fired Edwin Cox because he continues to raise the fees for his services. I was troubled deeply by the treatment Alex received in his coming to help. I bless you, Lord, for Alex. Why are you allowing the enemy to hinder him today? How do we encourage him as he has us? Around 10:30 a.m., we are escorted to the courthouse. Finally, we have convinced the police that we do not want our heads covered. It felt good to walk in the sunshine. We have only seen and been touched by the sunlight in a very few moments from jail to the escort and escort to the courthouse. That has been it. I'm troubled for the Haitian inmates who have been in holding since before the earthquake. They have not been in sunlight for nearly 2 months. Our ride to the courthouse today was one with unknown hope in results, but high in hope for God's glory. We are not really sure about our lawyer's situation. After arriving, Laura goes to the courtroom to begin what we understand to be a re-examination of the facts. While we're waiting, George showed up. He helps us to understand that our lawyer has dismissed himself from our case and that he is another lawyer that he's been trying to reach, one who is certain can be trusted. God, who do we trust? We had already fired Mr. Cox, but now George is telling us that he dismissed himself. George finally contacts this other lawyer, and he will be at the courtroom within 30 minutes. While this is going on, Alex showed up at the courthouse with his sack of crackers and cheese. Somehow he gets into the courtroom with Laura and gave her the note explaining his work to help us and a phone number to his lawyer friend. He then is escorted into our waiting room to deliver the crackers and cheese. Wow, God, what can I say to this man's care of us? I am deeply humbled. After many hours of waiting, it is decided that we will return the next day to be re-examined. Another night in jail. Our ride back to jail was like the rest. Only this time, the policeman asked if we could pray with us before we leave the courthouse. Then he tells us he leads worship at his church. After praying with us, he turned around and with a big smile on his face, he asked, "Where would you like to go?" It felt good to laugh with the policeman in the car. We returned to jail with the normal sounds of disappointment from the Haitian inmates for us. It is my great hope that these men in jail with us will never be the same, not because of us, but because of God. I know that I shall never be the same, ever. Tonight was a very slow developing night. The heat is sure and the humidity is suffocating. For me, this really is the most difficult part of the day. I don't go to sleep easily, so I strive to use this time to pray and read. The silence is loud during this time. My prayer. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you at a time that you may be found. When great floodwaters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding. That must be controlled with a bit and bridle, or else it will not come near you. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalm 32:3-11. Weighed against Scripture. Tuesday, February 9, 2010. Routine is consistent now. An early awakening time followed by prayer and Scripture reading, then breakfast. Then a short nap after reading again for several hours. Then around 10:30 or 11, we load up and go to court. God seems to take great pleasure in allowing Christians to be the one who transport us to court. One brother prays with us before we leave. This is a practice that we all practice when being driven through the streets of Port-au-Prince. Today's court is with everyone except Laura. Here we meet all of the lawyers. Now, Jim discovers that Lisa has secured a lawyer for him. Jim gets to speak with Lisa for a few moments this afternoon as the lawyer gets her on the phone. I think this was a huge encouragement to Jim and Lisa too. Alex met us at the courthouse again today with Florence and Junior. He has been working to secure children and guardian testimony of the children that Pastor Sainville placed in our custody. This is encouraging. 10 of the guardians are to testify for us on Wednesday morning. We have begun to discover that many of the children Pastor Sainville placed in our custody have at least one living parent. This is a shock to us, but we are not discouraged. Our time with the judge today was much like the previous times. Similar questions. I get the feeling that he's just wanting to convince people that he's doing his job to quiz us. He is a pleasant man, clearly a man of power, but kind. He looks me in the eyes when he talks to me in Creole. Then the translator attempts to communicate his questions. The attorneys are very helpful to assure that the translator speaks correctly for us. The day in court moves very slowly. Knowing that he will question the children and guardians on Wednesday means for sure another night in jail. I find myself in an unusual condition of being at peace with everything and a growing hope even if we go back to jail again. I am now 12 days with the same pair of jeans on, rotating through two pairs of socks and underwear, and one shirt plus a new shirt that George brought us a few days ago. I'm not sure about total weight loss, but I can now take off my pants without unbuttoning them. Not a weight loss plan that I would ever recommend, but one that I have embraced. I have decided to now only eat off of what comes as a direct answer of prayer from God, which is everything. We are in sufficient supply of all that is needed. Water comes almost as we are in the midst of praying for it. Fresh fruit from Alex comes when encouragement is needed most. God brings bread and occasional flavored drinks, even from the media, who mostly have been very hard on us. The slander from the media has been very hard to hear, yet encouraging when weighed against the Scripture. Tonight I began to feel the Haitian inmates are becoming disappointed in how fast our trial is progressing compared to how long they have been waiting. Some have been waiting for as long as 2 months and still have not seen a judge. I am sure that the earthquake has complicated many things, but we are told by many that the 2 or 3 month wait for most is normal. I think the media and the political pressure has expedited our case. Interesting, God, how you cause the media to slander us and push our case along at the same time. After the long day in court today, we returned to yet another night in jail. Tonight, the U.S. Embassy showed up with messages from home and to check on us. Their absence has been troubling, but I learn after asking some questions that their coming by is normal. These messages were very encouraging, timely and helpful even. Some were over a week old and most of the information was no longer pertinent, but I must have read the notes from Renee and my parents a dozen times. Sometimes I would even wake and move to the light to read again throughout the night. Consumed with selfishness. Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. Another day to court. The media presence continues to decrease every day. Our case is proving our innocence, and I think the media is losing interest in us because we don't talk much to them, and truth doesn't seem to be nearly as exciting, I think. To me, it is very exciting. Before we go to see the judge in his chambers, Jim's lawyer came into the room that we wait in at the courthouse with an update of how the hearings with the children has gone. He said that all 10 we lined up to testify came, and all 10 spoke about our coming and working with Haiti, sharing Jesus' orphanage, and giving refugee help to orphans who were in our care. He said all guardians spoke positively in our favor. One family, when asked if they were mad at the pastor of the orphanage, said, "Yes, we are mad at the pastor. We gave this child to the pastor to take care of, and the child is still in Haiti." This was good news to hear. We spent most of the day in court and told that the judge will make a decision today and then pass it on to the prosecutor, who has 5 days to either agree or disagree with his ruling. The earliest our release could be will be Thursday, February 11th, but because Friday is a national day of mourning, it's 1 month from the date of the earthquake, the next opportunity would be Monday, February 15th. We go back to jail knowing that our remaining time will only be waiting upon the system. For this, we must continue to wait upon the Lord. I noticed this fast approaching hope that has been so difficult to keep under control. God, I need your strength to discipline my mind. I must not become consumed with selfishness and want my release greater than I want your glory. Discouragement begins to climb. Thursday, February 11th, 2010. This is a day of waiting. We hear all day long of encouraging news followed by discouraging news. The confident news by all is that the judge has recommended our innocence to the prosecutor. The discouraging news is only about when we are to be released. As 5 p.m. approaches, the discouragement begins to climb on me and begins its suffocating work. I find myself back in the Psalms, reading of the prayers, songs, and the complaints to God. God, help guard my mind against discouragement. Fix my eyes upon you, and I cannot be disappointed. From my journal, dated August 30th, 2010. Shortly after preaching at a Bible conference in Clovis, New Mexico, I was reflecting on my journal entries from this date. Most of that day was waiting. I did laundry, talked, laughed, read, sang, read again, napped, woke, reread notes from Renee, and waited. This day reminded me of how selfish my outer man is unless the Spirit gives direction. I find that if direction is not given to my feelings, I begin to feel sorry for myself, and the cloud of great unknowns lay like a blinding fog on top of everything. The only place I could be alone was in the bathroom area for any length of time, and even then, not left alone for long. I walked through the damp sheet that separates the hallway from the bathroom and immediately began to slash through the poorly drained floors that must be filled with everything that doesn't drain. I splash my way to the stall and begin to weep with my face to the wall. I pondered, why do I have to hide my emotions from the others? Why can't I keep discouragement from latching itself on to me like a leech and draining me of my hope? Why did I send word to Silas to come with me? Why this fear? Can I endure a conviction of guilt? What has happened to my name? Will anyone ever respect me again? Can I live the rest of my life separated from Renee? Why does the proof of our innocence have to go through this agony? Why do they have to continue putting beans in my rice? Well, I found myself complaining to God, thus proving my completely selfish nature that plagues me all the days of my life. Is this my thorn in my flesh? I can't believe I'm complaining to you, God. You graciously provided. You are not unjust to give me hell, yet you choose to receive glory from me. And look at me, complaining. I'm suffocating in my selfishness. I would weep to hear from God. Then, the Psalms would lodge themselves in my mind. I would begin to preach to myself a non-disappointing hope in Christ. And the answers to my questions began to be answered with satisfaction. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. I deserve hell, and God has given me His Word to read every day while in this pit. I deserve hell, and God has allowed me to use my shoes and my Bible as a pillow at night. I deserve eternal separation from God, and God has fed me every day. So I must lift my eyes off of this wall of filth and look to the Lord, the King of glory. If conviction is lowered upon us, and it will be within the pleasure of God for His name's sake, and He will not be unfair to do so, I will be in need of You, dear God, to help me point You to the nations and to show them from where my help comes from. God, what does hope look like in this dark jail cell? How have You carried countless others through much worse than this? Will I be able to say, my help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, with or without freedom? I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. Psalms 121, 1 through 8. A sobering moment. Friday, February 12, 2010. National Day of Mourning, Haiti Jail. This morning is much like every morning, slightly cooler than the daytime, slow moving, good reading and prayer time. Around 11 a.m., our lawyer came in. He came by to check on us and to let us know that Alex was sorry that he could not come in today. He asked of our needs and then went to the grocery store and picked up some fruit, crackers, water, cheese, and peanut butter. He also brought us a treat of Cheez-Its. We have realized our need for water and bug spray after he left, meaning we only have God to ask for both. We are all down to one water bottle and we are virtually out of bug spray. We commit our needs to God, trusting He will supply. About noon, the police brought a case of water. Our lawyer forgot to leave it with us when he came by. God already had the need covered. Then our translator came by with clothes for everyone to have on the day that we're released. He thinks it will be important to have new clothes for the special day. At about the same time, we spent about an hour reading scripture and singing songs with the inmates, praying for the nation of Haiti while they continue to mourn this great loss in their land. As of today, we have heard that approximately 250,000 people have died as a result of the earthquake. We even heard word that a man was rescued alive yesterday. Then, about 4 o'clock p.m., a delivery from Missionary Aviation Fellowship came by with a drop-off of clothes for the women, and in the box was new bug spray. God knew our need before we were aware of the need and supplied the need for us before we even thought about asking. Their encouraging visit was helpful in breaking up the longness of this day. We are all in better spirits today after processing through the disappointment of yesterday. We've been hearing singing in the distance all day long. There must be a gathering of people in the streets, praying. We are told they are singing to God. This is a very sobering moment to hear this sound of hope. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Rejoice, heavens, for the Lord has acted. Shout, depths of the earth, break out into singing, mountains, forest, and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorifies himself through Israel. Isaiah 44:22-23. Dear God, it's likely that man's fickle heart will turn on us. How many times has my fickle heart done this to others? Teach me of your faithfulness and bind my wandering heart to you. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. How can I ever forget this good day? Your binding me to you is not because of what I'm able to do for you. It's by your grace and your mercy in all that you have done for me. That is what binds me to you. Come, sustain me. Renee's Voice. Saturday, February 13th, 2010. The sound of God's people in song is familiar in Haiti. I'm not sure why they are gathered outside our jail this morning, but the sound is sweet to my ears. The inmates tell us that it is believers singing praise to God. We are encouraged. Today was much like the day before, which was much like the day before. Somehow Alex continues to get permission to come in. God knows that even a short visit from Alex, Junior, or Florence is a reminder that we are being prayed for. Alex and I have been exchanging letters with each other for several days. We are able to encourage each other from the common struggle we share in Christ. I'm able to send encouragement back to his church as they gather to pray for us every day. I pray God will allow us a time of fellowship after our release so we can know more of the Lord's faithfulness. After Alex left, the Lord sent encourager after encourager into the cell today. Missionary Aviation Fellowship, based in Nampa, Idaho, brought more bug spray today. A medical student named Justin from Alabama came in to check on us. Mr. Roy, Alex's lawyer friend, and Isaac, our translator, came in with ice for Carissa's insulin and more water. A longing in my heart to hear Renee's voice is present upon my heart. I find myself in much gratitude to God for the gift of such a faithful helper. I'm sure that there are some who want to cast doubt upon our motives and actions, even unto reason for our imprisonment. Renee must be enduring a heavy burden of hearing those who want to cast doubt. God, give her rest. I'm thankful to you, Lord, that Renee knows different. This truth of our being here in Haiti and the reality of the enemy's attempt to thwart the work of God will one day show, and this truth of Christ will set men free. We have begun to hear that some of the other men are being scheduled for court dates. This encourages many of them, and us, for them. Armstrong is told that he will go before the judge on Monday. Maurice is scheduled for Wednesday or Thursday. Henry is scheduled for Tuesday. We're also learning more about Jean, Dominican, today. He is Haitian-born, grew up some years in the DR and then back to Haiti. He has had no family come to visit him since we have been here. We are all the more thankful that we have been sharing our food rations with him and pleased to continue. He seems especially touched by our evening praise and worship time tonight, so much so that he goes to bed an hour earlier than normal. God, capture his attention with your glory. Intentional maligning. Tuesday, February 16th, 2010. The people from the Oprah show have returned with more food and water today. God, what do I do about this? I know that you can use whomever you want to meet our needs. But God, why Oprah? I have a growing concern about our main lawyer, Aviel. The only time he comes to jail to talk is to make sure that we know that he too has lost a good amount of money when George disappeared. I will have to wait until I return home to better understand all of what has happened here, but this growing unrest with him is present. Mr. Roy, the attorney Alex brought us, comes in each day to check on us and brings us some food. He has been a blessing from God. God, how do I ever repay this kindness of people like Mr. Roy, Alex, Jr., Florence, Buddy, Missionary Aviation Fellowship, and so many others? I suppose that is something more for me to learn. To be a receiver of grace like this is at odds with my flesh. Undeserving grace and giving without expectation of return is at war with my flesh. Pride wants to be above this. I have a new note from Alex today. I look forward to a lifetime friendship with him. Thank you, God, for Alex. The sundial we made on the wall seems to be somewhat accurate, at least accurate enough to know how slow the day progresses. I enjoy worship tonight with all the men and most of the women. Carissa continues to struggle with her health, but the praise time tonight was special. I especially like the Haitians singing in their native tongue some of these common songs of the faith. I will have to work on my verbal description of this. Jean continues to bond with us. He is staying in our cell most of the time now. We pray for him, Maurice, and Armstrong every day, multiple times a day. Henry continues to stay around us more often, too. Henry has told Silas that before we are released, that the two of them must fight. I'm not sure what that even means. Smith stays in our cell most of the day until we decide to go to sleep. I think he has a hard time sleeping through all of our snoring. I have read most of the New Testament again, skimming the Gospels mostly, except the Sermon on the Mount. I am captured by God's providential hand upon the life of the church. I have much more I want to examine from Hebrews, 1 and 2 Peter, the Sermon on the Mount, and how often hardship is mentioned about the first century church and the intentional maligning of their character by the world. Today, your freedom has come. Wednesday, February 17, 2010. Freedom. This morning I decided to put on my new clothes. I'm guarding my heart and mind against disappointment. Yet I believe we will go home today. Alex came by today with a note saying that he is sure we will go home this week. He seems to think even today for most of us, maybe. We hear that the prosecutor has recommended that we not be released until further investigation can be done on Laura and Carissa. The day unfolds very slowly, much like every day, only much slower. Even lunch came later than usual. Usually it comes in no later than 2 p.m., but today it came around 3 p.m. The fact that it came at all begins to establish that disappointment I am at war with. Around 1:30 p.m., the U.S. Embassy showed up to begin talking to us about the return home in the event that we are released. Silas and I visited with Kathy and about five other people about possible travel plans. They want to know what our plans are to get home. As encouraging as this visit was, I have no idea what kind of travel plans I have to get home. We no longer have texting ability with our families, so I don't know what to do here, but to do what God has clearly been teaching me to do, trust in Him. The visit was encouraging in that it seems more likely that we are to be released soon. Close to 4:15 p.m., the lawyers begin to show up and gather in the hallway. Then I noticed Alex. I don't know how he does it. Then I saw Junior in the hallway. Alex looked to me and gives me his patented smile and hard blinks of his eyes. And then he gives me the thumbs up. I know that this is good. I praise God for this breakthrough. And then Alex just walked into the jailer's office and up to the barred window that we have spoken through many times. And he says, "Today, your freedom has come." He is then immediately ushered out by the police as they grab him by the arms, but not without several glances back to make sure that we heard him. Then in the hallway, Junior, with a grin from ear to ear, points to heaven and mouths the words, "Praise to God." From this point, we are cleared to go. All charges dropped on 8 to be released today. We are then told that the people from the Oprah show want us to seek refuge in their place. We quickly say that we would rather go to the U.S. Embassy. Avio wants us to go with Oprah from the first day that we met him, adding to my unrest with him. The U.S. Embassy met with us in the jail about the possibility of getting on a military flight tonight to Miami. We are all in agreement that this is best. The military is still flying emergency flights, and they have 8 empty seats. A provision from God. We are to leave Haiti tonight at 8 p.m. on a U.S. Air Force cargo flight. I can't shake the faces of the men in the cell that we have just spent 3 weeks with. They all make eye contact and give firm handshakes. Even though we've had our things stolen from time to time when we go to court, we have become very close. God, please bring freedom to these men soon. We make several attempts to allow Carissa to be released so she can get medical attention in the States by letting one of us stay in her place. This was very hard to be refused to do so. Any one of the 8 being released were willing to stay in her place. The walk through the media zoo was as if it were in slow motion. Alex, true to form, comes from the midst of the crowd, then Junior, and Florence with a hug and a kiss on my cheek. What has caused this kind of brotherly and sisterly affection? We are virtually strangers. It can only be the blood of the Lamb. We make our way into the U.S. Embassy van and are escorted to the entrance of the Port-au-Prince airport, just less than a half a mile from where we've been for the last 19 days. We have heard these planes coming and going every day for the past 3 weeks. This time, we are to be on one. The media gets nothing from us, and Oprah gets even less. While at the airport, we all get phones to call family. We put the battery back into the phone that NBC gave us to use as well. This is unexplainable at the moment. How at all did I speak to my love without being in shock of hearing that voice? I will see her face and touch her embrace soon, if God will so allow. I was able to speak to David for a moment and Renee's dad. I will look forward to my call to my parents when I arrive in Miami. The flight was packed with brave men and women from the U.S. military, causing me to think a lot about David. There are many civilians with the look of despair and joy. The flight was uncomfortable, but most pleasant. I will strive for the remainder of my life to never complain about this flight, ever. Today, your freedom has come.